This is Jay Sekulow. According to the Congressional Budget Office, defunding Planned Parenthood leads to more births.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What I'm encouraged is, once our reforms kick in, what the CBO is telling us is it's going to lower premiums. It will lower premiums 10%. Don't forget one thing here. Obamacare is in the middle of a collapse. And oh, by the way, we just got a letter from Anthem, one of the biggest insurers in America, that are telling us if the status quo stays, they're going to surgically pull out of markets as well.
The Republican hand-picked head of CBO has confirmed what we Democrats have been saying all along. Trump care would be a nightmare for the American people, causing tens of millions to lose coverage and millions more seeing the costs of their health care going up.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You don't have any government bureaucrats anymore telling you what you can or can't buy. That's gone in our bill. You have the freedom to choose your health care. By the way, we also defund agencies that perform abortions with taxpayer money, like Planned Parenthood. That's a really big deal that's in this bill.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So there is a lot of discussion today about what's called the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and their scoring of the American Health Care Act, the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. Let me start with some evidentiary points. First of all, as I mentioned in the opening, Planned Parenthood not too happy about any of this. And the reason they're not happy about it is very simple and very straightforward. And that is because, quote, it will result in more live births. This is actually the headline from the Washington Post. Defunding Planned Parenthood would lead to thousands more births. And for Planned Parenthood, apparently, that's not a very good thing.
Well, I want to make it clear to people, the way the Washington Post wrote this, CBO is kind of, you know, generic in how they wrote it. They said it will lead to several thousand more births paid for under Medicaid, which is a cost-effective thing. Their job is not to make moral decisions. And you can disagree with this CBO report all you want. It's really the headline here. This is right in Planned Parenthood's wheelhouse, but it shows you how disgusting they are in the abortion industry. Defunding Planned Parenthood would lead to thousands more births. You know what they left out? American births.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need more Americans in our country. There are plenty of, it's not like we are a population control concerned country. We're not, we don't lack resources. We don't lack food. We don't lack clean water. We've got many states that are extremely underpopulated. They've actually lost populations. We, more Americans, thousands more. And that's how we're going to decide whether or not we're going to keep killing babies in America?
Well, that's exactly what this is all about. By the way, and then there's I'll get to the scoring of the CBO in a moment, but Tucker Carlson had on last night the senior vice president, Don Legines, from Planned Parenthood. They can't defend their position on abortion, folks. I lay the evidence out for you. Here it is.
Why is abortion so important to Planned Parenthood that you're willing to forego $500 million a year in federal subsidies?
Well, I'd like to say first and foremost that Planned Parenthood believes in the wisdom and power of the individual to decide what care is right for them and what doctor they should go to. And no one's going to bully, threaten, or bribe Planned Parenthood to not have that view.
Actually, they don't trust the American people because they're taking $500 million of taxpayer money. Now, there's all these reports out there that the Congressional Budget Office scoring shows that this may not be a very good plan. When we come back from the break, I'm going to show you why the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is not reliable as an evidentiary point. By the way, I'm not the only one that said it, that the CBO is off, even though the Democrats today are saying, oh, see what the CBO is showing? Hillary Clinton wasn't too thrilled with it. Neither was Chris Dodd, both Democrats. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Logan, let's get everybody involved in the conversation.
That's right. A lot of people just joining us now on Facebook and social media. You can find that out, though, at Facebook.com/JaySekulow, as well as Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow or give us a call. A couple lines are open still. 1-800-684-3110, but they're going fast. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard today.
All right, we'll be back with more of your calls. We're going to go through the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. What does this mean for the legislation? And the fact that Planned Parenthood is about to lose $500 million. We'll take your calls on that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So the Congressional Budget Office comes out and becomes headlines all over the country. CBO says that the number of people that will lose enrollment will be upwards of 24 million people, that the costs are not clear. They lay all this out. But I like to deal with evidence on this broadcast. So if I were to bring the Congressional Budget Office into a courtroom as what's called an expert witness, that is someone that has expertise in an area, here at Week would be scoring Congressional Budget Office impact, they would not be qualified as an expert witness. And here's the reason why. Just within the healthcare realm. So that's why I want to take the CBO analysis and put it on the side and forget it. But I want to give you the evidence on why that's true. Number one, the CBO is the Congressional Budget Office. They're the ones that's supposed to measure the financial impact on, in this particular case, the American Healthcare Act. When it came to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, they said that enrollment would be 24 million people. They were only off by somewhere between 48 and 60% because you know how many people actually enrolled in Obamacare? 9,200,000. It doesn't stop there. In 2003, President Bush put forward the drug benefit program. They said, this is the Congressional Budget Office, scored it, and they said it would increase costs for those prescriptions by 40%. 40% cost increase. They were incorrect on that as well. Now, that is just fact. So I want to put this Congressional Budget Office fact out there. Now, you're going to hear the Democrats and the left saying, oh, the CBO is concerned about the scoring of the American Health Care Act. Let me tell you what the Democrats have said about the CBO in the past when it came to this. Mr. Clinton, President Clinton, dismissed the CBO report when asked about it. That's not a problem, he said, talking about the healthcare worker. No serious person out there in the real world will be troubled by that fact and the impact on the budget. That's from the CBO. That's talking about the CBO. Chris Dodd, senator from Connecticut. One thing that's disappointing about CBO and frustrating is all the work done on prevention that CBO doesn't factor in. In other words, it's not painting the whole picture. I'm giving you the evidence from Democrats here, folks. The CBO scores, this is Tom Harkin, something sometimes doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, real life sense. So don't get overly frustrated with the CBO scoring, and let's keep our eye on the ball. Here is the ball. Number one, Planned Parenthood would be a prohibited entity. They will lose $500 million. The individual mandate will be gone. The employer mandate will be gone, which means Hobby Lobby case no longer a factor. So relying on the CBO is a mistake, period. Let's focus on this bill. Planned Parenthood is a prohibited entity on this. We've been fighting for this for 30 years, and we're about to have it. Jordan, then I want to go to Than.
That's right, and I think that we need to keep that pressure on. Not that everything is perfect in this reconciliation bill,
right?
Which, again, is not like passing normal legislation, which you just get to do whatever you want language-wise. This is going as far as possible, and I think that some of these senators and some members of Congress, many who are good friends of ours, they sign on to our briefs, and listen, this is not our top issue when it comes to the details of every kind of insurance plan. It's not our focus area at ACLJ, though we've gotten up to speed on it when it was the Affordable Care Act,
yep,
and we're getting up to speed on it now, but we don't even have a final reconciliation bill here. But the fact that they are already, in a sense, opposing it and threatening the political fallout from it,
right,
to me, again, this is Republicans versus Republicans, was exactly what Democrats want.
All right, so Than, let's give everybody, Than Bennett, of course, is our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, D.C. I'm going to get some comments and calls. Logan will pull those in a moment here. So again, get your comments in on social media. Phone lines are still open at 800-684-3110. But let's go to Than Bennett, Director of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C. What's the status of everything right now? The CBO obviously making big news. By the way, Washington Post says CBO says more live births, as if that's a negative. But go ahead. Where are we with this?
Well, a lot of those stories, Jay, leave out the fact that the CBO also says that it'll save $337 billion and premiums will come down by 10%. But look, I think we've got to focus where Jordan talked about. This is essentially a debate within the Republican conference right now. And look, there are individuals that might write this bill a little bit different if they got to draft it on their own. But, Jay, here's the reality. You have to get to 218 votes in the House. You have to get to 50 votes in the United States Senate. And I would tell you this. While there might be a couple of tweaks that I would like in the bill, if this is the final package and you're getting away rid of the Obamacare taxes and mandates and you're defunding Planned Parenthood on the mandatory side of spending, Jay, I would run to the House floor to vote for this bill. And quite frankly, when the negotiations are over, I think that's what Republicans in both chambers are going to do.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough. Give us a time frame, Than, quickly, and then let's grab a comment, Logan.
Got it.
It's in the House Rules Committee today. It'll be on the House floor next week, and then it'll be sent to the Senate. They will probably take a couple of weeks to deal with it at least.
So we're looking at, really, this could be moving in the president's desk within 4 to 6 weeks, folks. This is a big deal. And again, I just laid out for you why the CBO, Congressional Budget Office scoring, should be really irrelevant to this whole process. Logan, let's get some comments, and then we'll take a phone call as well.
All right, yeah, comments coming in, like from Carol said, Planned Parenthood's disgrace. Seems like all they want to do is kill babies and get their money.
Yes.
Isabella says, it seems like things from the Obama administration, seems like he lied about everything, absolutely everything. No taxpayer should be paying for Planned Parenthood. That just came in from Greg. Lots of comments coming in. This needs to go to the Supreme Court. That's what Diane says. And let's go ahead and take a call.
All right.
Let's go to Robert in Maryland on line one.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. Hi, Logan. I wanted to ask you, how close are we in terms of legislatively, in terms of the House and the Senate, to passing funding to defund Planned Parenthood? And yep, the other question I want to ask, what do we as pro-lifers have to do to also show other illegal activities that Planned Parenthood and other non-Planned Parenthood clinics are involved in to close down more abortion clinics?
Okay, two great questions. First, on where we are at the threshold, I really believe, of seeing if the American Health Care Act is passed, you're going to see a $500 million worth of defunding. This is, remember, through a reconciliation bill, $500 million worth of defunding on Planned Parenthood. That's number one. Now, it's going to pass the House, and I believe we're going to win it in the Senate. It may take Vice President Pence as the president of the Senate to be the deciding vote there, but I believe we're going to see a victory here. With regard to Planned Parenthood's other activity, we are in federal court with them now. I mean, that's just fact. We're in federal court in Washington, D.C. with Planned Parenthood, another case involving the National Abortion Rights Action League, NARAL. So that's in litigation. But as it stands right now, we are very close. We need to really focus on this. I understand this. Obamacare as it is, if it's left just to its own devise, it's going to be gone. It doesn't work. We're going to get into that with Professor Hutchinson in the second half of the broadcast. But on the Planned Parenthood side of this, Jordan and Than, we are at a threshold of victory here that we have not seen in 30 years.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is the one chance we have.
Yeah.
You're not having to go overturn Roe versus Wade at the court. You are able to defund the number one abortion provider in the world. They are already struggling because of the repeal of the Mexico City policy. They got so much money under the Obama administration for international abortions. They're struggling there. To take away half of their $1 billion-a-year budget, will significantly decrease their ability to kill babies. And that is the bottom line. And we talked about in our morning meeting today, are they going to be able to make up that $500 million through donations? One, they have the right to go and try. But two, I don't think so. I think that they're kind of maxed out on that side of, I mean, how many more are going to want to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to give Planned Parenthood more money so they can kill babies. I mean,
do we have other sound from the interview last night that would be relevant here? Because I think it's
they may not be able to survive this.
I think they are going to be in financial jeopardy, which is what it needs to be. And by the way, that $500 million stand is going to go to women's health care. People need to other clinics that don't do abortion. So this idea women aren't going to be served is a false narrative. It's a false statement, fan.
It's not a reduction in the federal budget, Jay. It's just it makes them ineligible to receive that funding. And look, I would say this. If they can go replace that funding, I tend to believe they won't be able to. But if they can, at least the United States taxpayer is going to be out of the business of funding abortion. Jay, by order of magnitude, I would say that this would be the biggest pro-life win in my lifetime.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're on the five-yard line. Let me just quickly say, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitch McConnell, those are the three people that need to be hearing from the American people right now.
Let me tell you this, folks. I've argued abortion cases at the Supreme Court of the United States. This win here would dwarf those. You understand this. This is a $500 million machine. Planned Parenthood is living off of our money. Here is what was Tucker Carlson, again, with the vice president, senior VP for Planned Parenthood. They are on the defensive here. Listen to what he said.
Why include abortion if the services provided are necessary? Why not just take that out? It is a controversial thing. A lot of people think it's murder. Why not just take that out and then taxpayers can feel good about subsidizing the rest of your services?
Well, again, taxpayers don't pay for abortion services. Women deserve access to the full range of reproductive health care, and that includes safe, legal abortion. And so Planned Parenthood is going to let women make the choices they want to make about their care and go to the doctor they want to go to.
Paid for by your taxpayer dollars. They leave that out, and the money is fungible here. It moves around. So understand exactly what is at play here. Listen, they're not on this campaign because they think they're going to win. They're out there right now because they think they're about to lose, and lose in the most significant way imaginable. And again, I'm going to go through when we come back from the break the CBO scoring and why don't get I think we're getting lost in the weeds on some of this stuff, and I think Democrats are going to use it. We'll tell you why that's not valid. All right, Logan, we come back from the break. More calls, more comments.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. We've got two lines open right now because we just took some calls, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting live, including during the breaks, on ACLJ.org and on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySekulo.
Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. We are almost midway through the month here. ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
acfj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Headlines all over the news last night, all over the news this morning. CBO gives the scoring of the American Health Care Act, the Republican proposal to repeal Obamacare, a bad score. Okay, this is the CBO, Congressional Budget Office. Let me tell you about that evidence. Not reliable, not valid, wouldn't qualify as an expert witness. Why? For instance, they were incorrect by 48 to 60% on regards to enrollment on Obamacare. They said by now you'd have 28 million people enrolled in Obamacare. Do you know what the actual number is? 9,200,000. So they were off by somewhere between 48 and 60%. This is the Congressional Budget Office. In 2003, President Bush passed a drug benefit program. They said it would increase costs by 40%. They were off by 40%. It did not. So, again, CBO projections have notoriously been wrong. And by the way, you're hearing the Democrats brag about the CBO? Well, it was interesting. Tom Harkin, Democrat from Iowa, said the CBO score some things sometimes doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean real life sense. That was from Tom Harkin, a Democrat. Here's what Nancy Pelosi said. It's always been a source that I will say is frustrating for many of us in Congress that the CBO will always give you the worst case scenario on one initiative and never any credit for anything that happens if you have early intervention in healthcare. In other words, they are not reliable. Yes, it is frustrating. President Clinton said, it's a serious problem. This is what Chris Dodd said. One thing that's disappointing about CBO and frustrating is all the work done on prevention that CBO doesn't factor in. So again, that was the Democrats talking about the Congressional Budget Office. So all this, you know, yelling on the media, the headlines on CNN last night and MSNBC that CBO scores this poorly. What does this mean? It's like the end of the world. How could this healthcare plan be any good? Take the CBO evidence and forget it. They are not a reliable piece of evidence. We do know this, that Obamacare as it is in a death spiral, period. There's no question about it.
CBO has just been very bad when it comes to insurance and trying to figure
it out.
They
just can't do it.
I mean, even under Obamacare, I mean, they gave them these numbers, which even the Obama administration thought should be higher. And it didn't even reach, I think it's less than half. So less than half the amount of people the CBO estimated would get insurance got insurance under Obamacare, and the costs have gone up significantly more than they expected the actual individual as well. And so to add to that, the fact that under this they're saying, yeah, less people, that's because less people will be forced to buy very expensive plans.
The CBO doesn't
include a lot of plans as insurance plans.
Yeah, because if it's not a bronze plan, which a 25-year-old is not going to take because they don't need it because it wouldn't be cost effective, that doesn't count with the CBO scoring. So again, let's not lose sight of what this bill does. It's going to keep insurance available for most Americans. With Obamacare is spiraling out of control. We'll get into that with Harry Hutchison after the next half hour of the broadcast. But don't forget this. Planned Parenthood money, out. Could be the end of Planned Parenthood. Individual mandate, gone. Employer mandate, gone. They're in phase two and three, you're going to see more accountability and more competition. All of that is good. Let's go ahead and take a phone call or a comment.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to David, who is calling on line four.
Hey, David.
In Missouri.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, sir, Mr. Sekulow. First, I want to say that I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks.
For moral values in America.
Thank
and
you.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I don't consider myself a Republican. I consider myself an ultra-conservative, and I believe Donald Trump is an ultra-conservative, not a Republican. And I wonder, how can we trust that the Republicans are going to do anything about abortion, since in 1973 the Roe versus Wade decision went through with only one Republican dissenting?
Well, look, in 1973 with Roe versus Wade, most of the groups that are in the faith community were in favor of abortion. The world has changed because of the medical technology, and now the medical technology is what's harming Planned Parenthood more than anything else. Now, they're about to lose some funding here. And fan, this is significant funding. And you say, you called yourself an ultra conservative. That's great. The president, is he an ultra conservative? Is he a populist nationalist? At this point, it doesn't make any difference. President of the United States. Here's what it does matter. This is a bill that's likely going to be on his desk, and fan will sign it.
Jay, I would say this to David. Don't believe anybody. You don't have to trust anybody. Read the bill that's being consideration. Page 2 and page 3 would be the greatest win for pro-lifers in my lifetime. You're talking about almost $500 million would come out of the coffers of Planned Parenthood. So you don't have to trust anybody, Republican or Democrat. Just read the bill that's up, and the evidence will be right in front
of
you.
And listen, the Republicans are not shying away from the fact that this is a pro-life bill. Listen to Steve Scalise.
You don't have any government bureaucrats anymore telling you what you can or can't buy. That's gone in our bill. You have the freedom to choose your health care. By the way, we also defund agencies that perform abortions with taxpayer money, like Planned Parenthood. That's a really big deal that's in this bill.
So let's not lose sight of the fact of what the end goal here is. And that is to get health care where it is going to be real competition across state lines. That's going to take phase two and phase three, rolling back the employer mandate, the individual mandates, and get a situation where insurance companies aren't fleeing from the industry, which is what they're doing right now. But again, the politics of this, the Democrats are now relying on the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. They were the ones complaining about it during Obamacare.
Well, and they're seizing on Republican infighting. So they've already got the Republicans fighting each other. Listen, a lot of good friends of ours on both sides of this. And I think, listen, some on the other side of the, when it comes to the insurance language, have great arguments to make. They need to do it through the reconciliation process. And they can only do, and they need to understand that they can only go so far under that process. So they put forward the proposals that could actually be done under reconciliation. Stop complaining about things that can't be done under reconciliation. These are the most conservative members of Congress who are coming out against this, and yet they have an opportunity to take $500 billion dollars from Planned Parenthood. So for our good friends out there, I'm not going to name their names yet, you know, you're doing more to hurt the one shot we've got
ever
at defunding
in
Planned
our lifetime.
Parenthood.
All right, Logan, do we have time for a call? Do you want to take a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call.
Okay.
Let's go to Holly, who's calling in New York.
Hi, Holly, go ahead.
Hello, I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I'm pleased to see what is going on, the debate within the Republican Party.
Sure.
Right? So I'm not Republican, and I really feel bad that we have a whole spectrum of conservatives, all right, that whose voices are not being heard, that are against abortion. I'm a Democrat. A lot of Democrats are against abortion.
Oh, I know that. And a lot of Democrats, Holly, are against, and it sounds like you are. You don't want your taxpayers' dollars going to Planned Parenthood, right?
I absolutely do not. But the only thing is that I am very pleased to see that there are some Republicans that have a conscience and realize that there must be a way to fight abortion without putting millions of people's health at risk by taking away their health care.
And that's exactly right. And that's why I wanted to go through the evidence on the CBO scoring to not let people get so caught up in that, because they've never been right. And I want to go back to that piece of evidence. The CBO said that there would be 24 million people under the Affordable Care Act, under Obamacare, and ended up being 9 million. So they are not good at scoring health care, as Jordan said. They just are not good at it. I mean, that's just the reality of what it is. This is not something where they've been successful. We've got a lot more on this topic ahead. We're going to be here for another half hour. We're going to be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison, who's done a full analysis of this. Logan, let everybody know what they can do to get the next half hour of this broadcast.
That's right. If your local station doesn't carry it, many of them do. And if you're listening on SiriusXM, you're totally fine. They carry the full hour. But if you don't get it, you can find it many different ways. Facebook or ACLJ.org are great options today. Again, Facebook.com/JSecular, where you get to interact, talk to like-minded, sometimes not so like-minded people. Have fun over there. Get your comments in. Many of those make it on the air. You can also find it on ACLJ.org. As soon as you log in, you'll see there's a big video, big YouTube link. You'll see that's playing live right there. Again, that's at ACLJ.org. If we do lose you here, you can find it archived on the ACLJ app at ACLJ.org or on the JSecular podcast.
And don't forget that matching challenge. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. This measure is critical in defending America. We will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
So we've got the CBO concerned about a couple of things. One is that under the American Health Care Act, this is the repeal of Obamacare, there will be more live births because Planned Parenthood is being defunded. Planned Parenthood not too happy about that. They're about to lose $500 million. And then there's all the discussion about the Congressional Budget Office saying 24 million people will lose their access to health care, which is not true. There's all these talks about cost with CBO scoring. Not true. And let me give you the history of CBO. This is the Congressional Budget Office, supposed to be nonpartisan. I'm a lawyer. I deal with evidence. I could not get the Congressional Budget Office certified as an expert witness here. You want to know why? Here's one example. On the Obamacare legislation, they projected that enrollment would be 24 million people. By now, it is 9,200,000. They were only off between 48 and 60%. In 2003, again on health care, when the drug benefit program was put in place, they said it would see an increased cost of 40%. They were only off by 40%. So they were incorrect on these. Then you've got Democrats like Chris Dodd. You've got Democrats like Tom Harkin. You've got Democrats like President Clinton saying they are concerned about the CBO. Tom Harkin said the way CBO, Congressional Budget Office, scores something sometimes doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, real life sense. So relying on the CBO here, the Congressional Budget Office, Jordan and Than, is a mistake. It is a mistake from a legal standpoint. It is a mistake, but it is what the Democrats are seizing on. It's incorrect evidence and incorrect data. That is what they're seizing on.
That's right. Each party uses it when it's their advantage, and no party really takes it seriously because their facts, they've always gotten it so wrong. Their predictions just have not been correct. Now, when it comes to specifically insurance, I think they've done the worst job, and they've got a very short-term track record in this with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and now the Republican plan, the American Health Care Act. In Obamacare, they told us that 20-plus million people would get insurance through the exchanges, and only about 10 million have. So they were 50% off there. They were also off
at
on
least
the cost. 50,
they can maybe off 60%, but yes, yeah, 50 to 60.
They're off actually 67% if you don't include the states that aren't part of the exchanges.
Right.
The states have said, no, we're not even going to be a part of this. But if you include all the states, they were off by 50%. That's pretty bad for congressional budget people. I mean, they're supposed to be the nerds who can put together the numbers.
Right.
They're not
so
real good on it.
Yep.
And then on this one, they leave out the fact. They don't make it clear. They say 20 million people will not have insurance. They don't make it clear that that means very high-level insurance plans because they will have personal choice, once again, which is what America is about.
Because 24-year-olds are not going to take what would be considered a Cadillac plan. They will go with a bronze plan or less. They'll get more like catastrophic insurance. So it's a skewed number, folks. All right, what kind of comments are we getting? What, or do you want to take a phone call here? Well, not a phone call.
A lot of comments are coming in specifically about other options to this current proposal.
Yep.
So some people are asking about the Rand Paul plan and what we thought about that. Or is it, some people say they're uncomfortable with it. Some people like it.
All right, but we're here having to deal with a reconciliation bill. And then you need to reiterate for people. So there are competing plans out there, but not competing plans that can get through the reconciliation process.
Anything that requires a statutory change in language, Jay, has to get 60 votes. That's not part of a reconciliation package. Now, when you talk about the Ron Paul, that's correct. You're not going to win it. Now, you can tweak the language inside a reconciliation. That's the debate that's happening. But at the end of the day, here's what people need to understand. Whatever makes it to the floor, you have one shot to get to 218 and 50. And, Jay, if you don't get there in your one shot, Obamacare stays as the law of the land.
Yeah, and the next segment of the broadcast, we'll be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison. He is our director of policy. And he's going to go through with you how sustaining Obamacare, as we know it, is an impossibility from an economic standpoint. So I believe that this is the bill that we've got through the reconciliation process is going to accomplish a lot of things, including the defunding of Planned Parenthood. It's going to increase capabilities of insurance. I think we've got to go with this. This is the bill that we've got. This is the bill we have to go with. You only got 30 seconds, but Jordan, I look at your generation. We've been fighting for this since before you all were born.
That's right. And my generation, I think one of the most pro-life generations because one, those of us who have now been through the birth process or a little older than the 18-year-olds and stuff like that, you see the ultrasounds that are done, how early it's done. I remember with our child, I mean, it was the first visit you could actually see. They did an ultrasound immediately.
Technology's changed everything.
Everything has changed, so let's get this right.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. A lot of discussion about the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, and the Democrats are saying, oh, the CBO says there's going to be less people insured, it's going to cost more money. The CBO, as I said, has never been right, especially on health care. I wouldn't say they've never been right, but on health care, they have been woefully incorrect. 48 to 60% incorrect on enrollment numbers for Obamacare. They projected 24 million, it was 9 million. Incorrect on drug benefit plans, where they said it would increase 40%. They were only off by 40%. So they have not been very good at this, and I've already given you the kind of the Democratic response. But I want to take this down to its core. This is a reconciliation bill that's moving the House that is the repeal and replacement of Obamacare Phase 1. Professor Harry Hutchison is joining us. He is our director of policy, and I want to ask this to you as if I was putting you on the stand, Harry, as an expert witness. Number one, is Obamacare, as we know it right now, currently failing?
Absolutely. Jay, Obamacare is failing for a number of reasons. Insurers are fleeing the market. Premiums are rising. Copayments are rising. There are at least 1,000 counties in America with only one insurer. In the foreseeable future, we will see under Obamacare counties without any insurer. And so then healthcare coverage will become imaginary. In other words, it will be like Canadian healthcare. Under Canadian law, you are entitled to be covered by the provincial government. However, in many areas of Canada, there simply is no physician. So coverage is merely aspirational. That's not enough.
Yeah, so this is the hard reality, folks, of doing nothing right now. And I think what we need to be focusing on is politics is the art of the possible. It's not the art of the perfect. And I'm fine with debate going on, and there should be debate going on. But what you need to understand is that, and Harry just laid it out very clearly, and we're going to go through it more in this segment, this is not sustainable. So politically, there has to be now a solution to that. I'll go to Jordan Than on that. But there has to be a political solution to that. That happens to be the American Health Care Act. That's the bill that's being put forward.
Yes, and it's a step one. It's reconciliation to get things back on track when it comes to insurance. We've seen the premiums. One of the reasons Donald Trump won, Republicans retained control of the House, gained seats in the Senate, is because, and the Democrats just did a horrendous job in the election, was because, remember, about a month and a half before the election, the numbers came out about the insurance premium cost increases under Obamacare. And in swing states like Arizona, the Democrats couldn't do anything about the cost increases. This came from insurance companies, by the way.
Right.
it was over 100%. In Tennessee, it was over 50%.
Yep.
And in many states, I mean, we're talking about, if you take out like the New Yorks and California, they're heavy Democrat states, which they spend all the taxpayer monies on subsidies. I mean, you were getting numbers that people were going to have to pay the penalty, which is exactly what happened. Yep. That's why the Congressional Budget Office was wrong when they scored Obamacare. Half the amount of people, or more than half, that they thought would get coverage through the exchange decided too expensive, I'll pay the penalty.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, means insurance costs go up for all of us because less people are insured. They're going to the emergency rooms.
Right, which is exactly what it was supposed to prevent. Get me a comment, Logan, then I want to play number 14 from Paul Ryan.
Donna in Mississippi said, what can we do here to help? Call our representatives? What do we need to do?
Well, I think contacting your representative is great. We are representing your interests in Washington. We've got petitions up on this. But I think what people need to do first is understand what's at stake. And I want to go back to Professor Hutchinson, then I'm going to play the Paul Ryan bite. But Professor Hutchinson, I think the American people need, this is not the bill's not perfect, by the way. We've gone through and done a deep analysis. So there are things you'd want, but this is a reconciliation bill. But if we do nothing, again, I want to underscore this. You're talking about counties with no insurance capability.
Absolutely.
If we do nothing. So let's explain this again.
So under Obamacare, we have exchanges, we have subsidies, we have Medicaid. However, insurers are not compelled to sell insurance, particularly at a loss. We would not expect them to continue to do so. And so to the extent that their cost exceed their actuarial income, they will remove themselves from the market.
Which they're already doing.
They are already doing that widely throughout the nation and certainly within many states. The Medicaid burden in many states is also approaching unsustainability as well. But there's another point to remember here. The CBO estimate is grounded in assumptions. And as you well know, those assumptions can be wildly wrong.
Yep, as we've laid out.
We've already talked about some of the instances of their poor record in estimating cost or coverage or the number
poor, they were off like 60% in one and 40% in another.
Right.
Yeah.
But I should confess to our audience that I'm trained in statistics.
Yep.
I'm trained in analysis, but it is grounded in assumptions, and those assumptions can be wildly off, and that means the estimates will be wildly off.
Okay, go ahead quickly, Jordan.
I want to say to Harry and to our audience, if we weren't talking about reconciliation here and we didn't have this opportunity to defund Planned Parenthood, we had to go through a regular legislative process. Yep. We would be supporting and probably writing our own drafts of an entirely different kind of bill, an entirely different kind of legislation. This is not exactly what we'd want at all. We want that competition across state lines.
Right.
We want people to even have more personal choice.
Yep.
That being said, it can't be accomplished through reconciliation. We can have that political battle next. Let's have this should be the easy one. Reconciliation
Let's
requires
get this win.
Less. You don't have to get through the hurdles.
Yep.
It's tougher to strip things out, like the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And then we got 3 more years of this Republican Congress with this Republican president to write
phase
an entire new health care plan if we'd like.
Yep. Phase two and phase three. Go ahead.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Tom. Been holding for a long time in North Carolina. Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Jay. And you may have already answered some of this, but I mean, what does it really mean that Obamacare is going to collapse, and what does it look like to the Americans?
Well, what it means is you've already got, I'm going to play this. Let's play Paul Ryan set this up. Well, I mean, you got major insurers, Tom, leaving the market, which means there not only will be a lack of insurance availability, but the entire structure upon which this is based will fall. Let's take a listen.
Don't forget one thing here. Obamacare is in the middle of a collapse. Only 5 states have one insurer left. Over 1,000 counties in America have only one insurer left. Humana just announced that they're pulling out. That means zero plans in 2018 for those people. And oh, by the way, we just got a letter from Anthem, one of the biggest insurers in America, that are telling us if the status quo stays, they're going to surgically pull out of markets as well.
So the status quo is unsustainable, Than, and that's what people need to realize. If we don't fix this, we're going to have a catastrophic failure on our hands in a matter of 24 months.
Jay, Harry said it. I mean, insurance coverage is literally disappearing from the marketplace. And I wish I could play back for people what we said when this was being debated. We said that the goal of this all along was for it to structurally collapse so that we ended in single payer. And, Jay, we are literally on the precipice of that right now. The insurance plan is going away. Individuals are mandated to get coverage, but they won't have anywhere to buy it. So the only thing left would be to turn to the government. We're literally a couple of years away from that.
And if you mentioned the Canadian plan, that is a government plan. What Stan's saying is if status quo stays right now, that's where we're headed for in probably 24 months, which is what President Obama initially wanted anyways. Let's be clear about that. What does that mean for people?
Well, first, Stan is absolutely correct. Obamacare was designed to implode the private market for health care.
And it's doing it.
So that people would then demand government health care. And in doing so, of course, there is real pain and real suffering that is likely to occur. People will be without coverage. They will have access to a physician, but they can't pay their bill. So that is a huge cost associated with Obamacare. The Republican effort is designed to remedy the issues that are erupting, if you will, with Obamacare today.
All right, Logan, do we have time for a call before the break?
Let's take Mary very quickly in Colorado.
Hey, Mary, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And my comment regards Medicaid. Yep. And most people are Medicaid because they simply can't afford other insurance.
Right.
And if people just let Trump do his job and stick to his promises about bringing more jobs and higher wages, there'll be fewer people needing to Medicaid.
Well, there's actually an economic aspect of this. We talked about this. If Obamacare is repealed, Harry, you bring out the point, and you are trained in statistics, that in fact employment will increase because of those employer mandates being gone.
Absolutely. So the removal of both the individual and the employer mandate will actually drive an increase in employment in the United States.
Yep.
Employers will be inclined to hire workers for a full 40-hour work week. Other employers will hire new employees. Again, employers provided health care before Obamacare, and they will continue to provide health care after Obamacare disappears.
Quick prediction. Does this pass?
I think that at the end of the day, unless there's just too much scuttling, as long as there's groups like us still standing with it and putting the pressure on our conservative friends, I think it can pass as long as the White House keeps talking through this with the outside groups and members of Congress that this is not the end, this is just the beginning.
All right, we're going to be here for another segment. It's a segment where we take all of your calls and all your questions, get your comments and questions in.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. One line just open right now, but that'll open up as we take calls. You also get your comments in. A lot of people are commenting about this. Interesting ones coming for sure. We'll carry some of those in the break.
All right, folks, don't also forget that we are in the mid-month here of our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org for that. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-1-800-684-3110. 888-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
By the way, if you're asking when's the Jay Sekulow Band going to come back, because that song just kind of reminded me of that, we're going to shoot, Mark Townsend and I are meeting today, we're going to try to shoot for something in the next couple weeks. So we're finishing up the last aspect of the building to do, Logan, is the music area.
That's right.
So we're not quite there yet, but getting there.
Almost.
All right, let's go ahead and take these calls.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Lori in Washington on line two.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, yes. Jay, my point is that insurance does not provide health care. I'm telling you that as a physical therapist and provider for many years, I've noticed that there is absolutely a limit to what people are getting from their insurance. And I think that it's wonderful if we defund Planned Parenthood, that that happens. But this is actually money that's going to go to provide health care for women at federal qualified health centers.
Well, it's going to, I mean, that's the idea here. So I want to be very clear on this. When that $500 million comes out of Planned Parenthood, by the way, I don't know if they can survive that. I hope they can't, to be quite blunt. But, Than, that money is being, let's be clear on this, that $500 million is being redeployed.
Not only is it not coming out of the federal budget, Jay, but it will actually make it to the endpoint that provides health care to women, because it will not be used for abortion any longer. So not only is it not coming out of the budget, it will actually reach the intended goal that the caller's talking about.
So you mean it'll actually go to places that have mammogram machines?
Yeah, unlike
Planned Parenthood facilities that can actually perform real procedures for women's health? I mean, this is, again, I know it's men talking about it here, but you're talking about an increase of $500 million into women's health clinics that do not provide abortion.
Yep.
That will significantly help those who are not able to afford visiting doctors and normal
Absolutely.
Facilities.
All right.
Continue on. Diane in New Jersey at line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
The health care reform bill, assuming that it gets passed, will defund abortion. Once it does it preempt the abortion issue from going to the Supreme Court?
No, it does not. All that this is federal funding. So what you're talking about, Harry, here is a funding mechanism that goes to Planned Parenthood right now. The issue of the legality of abortion, that will still be litigated. But you're taking $500 million out of the abortion industry, and the CBO is saying, oh, my goodness, this plan is going to increase live births, as if that's a negative, by the way. Go ahead, Harry.
Jay, you're absolutely correct. The abortion issue will still be litigated before the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But it's important to note that by eliminating the employer mandate, the abortion mandate with respect to employers will essentially disappear. So cases that involve the Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby, those cases should no longer be litigated, at least within the meaning of American healthcare.
And we know the thousands of Americans who want to adopt, but because of bureaucratic problems and reform that needs to be done under those services, that's a correction that can be made as well. Make adoption easier for Americans. Again, it's a put your money where your mouth is moment for the Christian community, for the pro-life community. If it, yes, there will be more children whose parents can't take care of them being born in America. There are thousands of people who want to take care of those kids.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and take another call here, Logan.
All right, let's go to Madison in Missouri.
Hey, Madison, you're
line
on.
Line three.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, obviously any victory against Planned Parenthood is a good, but why are we just decreasing it by half? Why?
Oh, no. There are 500. It's there. No federal funding at all from Planned Parenthood. That is just half their budget. We can't stop their private donations, but Than, we're talking about here is the $500 million of taxpayer money. That's what we're talking about. It'd be great if Planned Parenthood had no money, but it's a private organization. They can raise money.
This would prohibit Planned Parenthood and other abortion entities that reach this level, to be honest with you, Jay, from even applying for Medicaid reimbursement. That is the vast majority of the $528 million that they get from the federal government, wouldn't even be able to apply for the reimbursement.
So it defunds all of their federal funding.
Right.
It can't, of course, you cannot stop them from raising money as a nonprofit so long as abortion is legal in America, and it is today. Terry had a quick comment. He said, why are some saying in the news that this just benefits the rich?
Because this is the skewed CBO analysis, Congressional Budget Office. And again, it was Chris Dodd, Bill Clinton, Tom Harkin, that all complained about the CBO scoring. And we told you where they're off. $24 million would be under Obamacare and end up being only $9 million. They were off by 48 to 60%. Drug benefit program was going to increase cost by 40%. They got that wrong. The CBO, Harry, if we're just looking at it as lawyers with evidence, they don't pass the test on when it comes to budgeting on healthcare. They just haven't gotten it right.
Absolutely. So the CBO continues to make huge errors in terms of its assumptions.
Yep.
The CBO, for instance, hasn't really scored phase two or phase three of the Republican repeal and replacement effort. So again, it will overestimate the number of individuals who will lose insurance, and it will probably underestimate the cost savings.
Exactly. All right, Logan, we can grab these three calls in 3 minutes.
All right, Morgan, you're on the air, line one, Connecticut.
Hey, Morgan, go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
I was just wondering if this first phase is passed through Congress, is there any way that it can be, phase two and phase three before they're implemented, can it be tweaked? Because
phase two and phase three are not going to probably go forward. I'll go to Jordan and Fenn on this really quickly, guys. If it goes through a reconciliation, it's limited what you can do. If it goes through a straight bill, you got to get to 60.
That's right. So this is, again, the first thing you do. And then the next phase would be real legislation. That's going to be much tougher. You're going to have to either
60.
Win seats in the U.S. Senate or in the next election cycle in 2018, which is not too far off, or put compromise.
Yep.
Compromise enough to get 8 Democrats to at least come on board with allowing a vote.
So then,
we don't have to get that for this.
No. So we got to keep our eye on the ball here, folks. That's what we're going to be telling you, and that's what we are telling you here. And that's why, again, if we were drafting this bill, it would look differently. This is a reconciliation bill. This is a good start. But as far as phase two or phase three, Than, what are we looking at time-wise? And then I got to hit these calls.
Well, I think things like selling across state lines can attract Democrats. So I think you can get to 60 on things like that. And on the regulatory side, Jay, that's Secretary Price undoing what Secretary Sebelius did.
Yep. So that's a good way to fix the regulatory issues. All right, let's grab these two calls.
All right, Steve in California, you're on the air.
Go, Steve.
Hi, Jay. First time listener. First time caller, a long time listener.
Great.
I like the idea of the replacement of Obamacare, but what is to say that this new plan is going to be any more fiscally solvent and going to keep the employers or the insurers from pulling out? Is it any better that?
Yeah, it is, because it gets rid of these mandates that employers can't afford. So it'll keep insurance competitive. And that's Harry, really quickly here, 30 seconds. That's one of the big problems here, is the economics of the existing plan is not going to work.
Absolutely. Insurers will now be allowed to sell a wide range of insurance plans to meet the needs of the market.
That can comply.
That actually comply with the government standards. So they're going to actually have more to offer you. For those who don't get it through their employer and don't get it through Medicaid.
All right, Logan, I think I could do this.
All right, Bobby in Georgia, you're on the air.
Bobby, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, if we repeal Obamacare, and I'm for fixing the problem, but if we repeal it, replace it, is it to guarantee that we're still not going to end up with the same problem we had before?
Because, number one, it's not sustainable as it is. So the problem you had before is that there was not this competition that was necessary. And frankly, Obamacare's taken health care backwards. You talk to practitioners, talk to doctors, talk to patients. It's worse now than it was. This will stop the bleeding, stop the excess, stop the problems. And then in a phase two and phase three, you correct the whole thing. This is going to be a comprehensive plan. And as Stan said, it's going to have to be done in segments. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. And there's a lot of ways to stay engaged with the ACLJ.
That's right. You can find all of those at ACLJ.org. But if you want to go directly, you got Facebook and Periscope and, of course, Twitter. Just search for ACLJ or Jay Sekulow. You'll find it all there. You can also get the ACLJ app on iPhone, iPad, Apple devices, including Apple TV, as well as Roku and the Jay Sekulow podcast, directly to your phone each and every day.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. This measure is critical in defending America. We will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org.